There is only one thing that you can control in your life. That's your thoughts. You can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. It's just that simple. Join me for the next hour on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, where I hope to inspire you to make the conscious decision to be happy. For that is the exact place where you need to be to create your own magnificent reality. Let us begin now. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and I'm so glad you could join us tonight because, well, the month of August 2011 is upon us. And during this month, the planet of Mercury is going backwards, meaning it's Mercury retrograde. But there are a few other planetary things going on as well. So I thought I would invite back international astrologer Tom Lesher because he had such a huge response the last time he was on, but also to give us more details as to what to expect during the month. Now, people may ask, why are we doing an astrology show on Law of Attraction? Well, astrology is a science that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. People understood even way back when that the magnetic forces that occur when the planets line up give us great insight into our own selves, our own emotions. Science, and now even NASA, is understanding the importance of the magnetic pull from all of the planets. It all has to do with science. That's why I thought that this may help us to understand and to actually be able to see how we react and help us to expand and understand our emotions a little bit better. So I am tickled to bring Tom back on the show. And you may find out not only about the other planets, but maybe about an asteroid or two. So stay tuned, because it's all going to help us right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Love can happen at any age. So what are you waiting for? Here's the chance to say to the universe, I'm worth it. I'm worth a 4-day cruise, and I'm worthy of finding true love. Or say to the universe, my existing relationship deserves a short vacation to spark up our love. Either way, you must take action to make your dreams come true. What better way than to be with like-minded people? Join us October 27th through the 31st on our Spiritual Singles Cruise, where we have a fabulous tapping workshop with Dr. Garland Landreth, an angel workshop, tantra workshop, and relationship workshops. Rates start off at $5.99, double occupancy, which includes workshops. So go to loaradionetwork.com and purchase your tickets today. We'll see you on board. Have you been receiving your free issue of Alms Times magazine in your email box? Every 2 weeks you'll receive this top quality magazine that has spiritual, metaphysical, and scientific information that will rock your world. Go to omstimes.com, omtimes.com, to sign up for your free subscription today.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, loaradionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Okay, we are back. Hey, I just want to remind you that this is, again, a video interview. So you can go to loaradionetwork.com and go to my host page at Law of Attraction Talk Radio. and look at the entire video. Or you can keep on listening because we are taking the audio and streaming it through 25 internet radio stations. And you'll be able to hear it exactly how you are now, or you have the option now of going to my host page to watch the entire video. So the choice is yours. Now, next week, we're going to be continuing our astrology theme with our friend Marguerite Manning. I am so excited to bring her back. It's been so long, but she's going to be talking to us about karmic astrology. She's really going to get into past lives. And we have a couple of callers that have fascinating stories. So it's going to be a great show. And also, I want to remind you that even if you're not single, if you're married or attached, I want you to come on to this cruise. You know, what's fascinating about the cruise is that we are going to be discovering our true authentic self. We're going to be learning on what makes us happy in a relationship. You know, in the past, for me, I've always put a greater emphasis on the other making me happy. But now I know it's not that someone can make me happy, because they can't. The only person that can make me happy is me. So in order for me to have a fulfilling relationship, I have to be happy first and foremost to bring in exactly what I'm looking for. So that is very, very important. That's what you're going to learn. You're going to heal from past relationships, and you're going to discover what it is that will make you happy. It's all about becoming happy on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. So let's get on with tonight's show with Tom Lesher. You know, he has been doing astrology for over 30 years, and he is internationally known, helping thousands of people really expand through the understanding of the planets and their emotions. So I am delighted to have him back on. You would probably even know him from his really terrific Paley Reports that is featured on the YouTube, and you can see that every single week. He really is an intuitive astrologer, and I think you're just going to find him brilliant. And so I want you to go to his website, which is newparadigmastrology.info, and you'll be able to see all the workshops that he's having all over the world, and also be able to sign up for a reading. So let's get on with tonight's show with Tom Lesher. Welcome, Tom, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm so glad to have you back. This is going to be an exciting month, so I want you to let us know what's going to happen. But first, before we do that, tell me where you are located right now, because are you back in Hawaii or are you up north still?
No, right now I'm in California.
Ah.
Yes, I'm in between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe near Nevada City. And I'm going to be here for a little while. Then I'm going back to North Carolina. Then I'm going to Australia. And I'm not going to get back to my islands for a little while yet. I'm still traveling.
And you're doing seminars all over then, huh?
Yes, I'm doing workshops on relationships, the astrology of yoga, and different aspects of chart interpretation everywhere I go.
Fabulous, fabulous. Okay, so let's talk about what is going on and what is going to be happening during the month of August 2011.
Okay, you bet. Well, a lot. And it's just about where to start. I'm going to start with Leo.
Okay.
You know, the sun went into Leo July 23rd, and it's going to stay there for, you know, the majority of August. Then we've got the planet Mercury is going right up to 1 degree of Virgo and turning retrograde and coming back into Leo all the way down to 18 degrees. And then, so it's going to be staying in Leo for that whole month of August. And then we've got Venus that is, you know, is now traveling very close by with the Sun. We're actually going to have a Sun-Mercury-Venus conjunction right at 24 degrees of Leo, right in the middle of August. So this is a very powerful time for Leo. And Leo has to do with the hero's journey. The heroine's journey is the way that I like to look at Leo and work with Leo, because it is very, I think it's a very misunderstood archetype these days, and it's worthy of a lot of clarification, because, well, it's very much, my last Law of Attraction radio show, I think that I got very much into what in shamanic astrology we would call the upper world or the celestial world.
Right.
Which is the upper chakras and the big picture and the imagination and the intuition and the photon waves and the galaxy. I mean, this is all way out there. And I was kind of giving this way out there picture. But, you know, when we come to Cancer, where we've had these eclipses through June and 1st of July, and then Leo, we come very much into the heart chakra. First of all, that's Leo. All right, and Venus also, and I'm going to talk more about that heart chakra. But, you know, I would like to balance my last interview a little bit with what we call in shamanic astrology the underworld.
Okay.
And that is the very personal, feeling, emotional, subjective, inner experience that we have. And Cancer and Leo are the most personal of the signs. So when we see a lot of this energy, and Mars is going into Cancer also in early August, yes, like the 2nd or the 3rd. So we have a lot of energy built up down here in the very personal signs now. And, of course, that involves, and Leo is all about, creativity. And, you know, I mean, I'm very associated, you know, I mean, what really got me into the Hicks work, you know, was really where she talked about, you know, creativity as being something absolutely new,
right.
Something that has never been before. So there's no rules, there's no instructions, there's no outside advice or help. You know, so when we come into Leo and we come into our creativity, we come into drawing upon the deepest inner resources of ourselves. And we also involve breaking away from everything and everyone in order to experience that deepest inner core of creativity. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And this is not an easy task. And, you know, it's funny because I was out in Hawaii where there's nobody and nothing. I'm talking to the waves and the birds and the coconuts, you know. And now I've been traveling from city to city and lots of people. And it's like this whole different take on what's going on around here. But, you know, there's a lot of, how can I say, there's a lot of socializing, there's a lot of, you know, eating and food and restaurants and gatherings at bars and coffee shops. And, oh my goodness, you know, there's just like so much involvement with the outside exterior world. And, you know, it's just the tribe does not encourage individualization. The family does not encourage individualization. The corporation does not encourage individualization. The religion does not encourage individualization. When we come into ourselves, our truth, our creativity, bringing something that is totally new, it scares everybody.
That's right.
You know, and it scares ourselves, right? So, I mean, we, you know, and so this whole part of this process, you know, is actually kind of a deconditioning. It's kind of a breaking away. It's kind of a liberating. And it's a coming into our power, our source, our core, that is the only way to do this. So if we look at life as this process of making the unconscious conscious, we fear what we don't know.
Right.
And what we don't know controls us. So if we look at this whole Jungian psychology, we look at, you know, basically we have our ego, our aware self, which we could say is our relationship to our physical body. And we have our subconscious personal self, which in astrology is Uranus. It contains our whole past, our whole future, and our current potential. And then we have the collective unconscious, you know, which is Neptune and Pisces in the 12th house in astrology. So if we look at these three different levels, it's necessary for us to really go, you know, the ego is this tiny little thing on top of this whole subconscious, unconscious collective, right? So we have our tiny little egoic self, and it's overwhelmed, it's threatened, it's pushed around, it is, you know, unaware of this huge, of all these issues from past lives and our childhood and our society, and oh my goodness, yeah. So it takes, and I don't want to create a fury here, but pain brings consciousness. It's suffering actually is a process of maturing. It involves Saturn, which is now going through Libra, and relationship issues coming to the fore. Yes, you know, it involves this transformation of ourselves within and through our relationship and partnership. And these different aspects of ourselves, we become conscious of what is causing us pain, what is causing us sorrow, grief, loss. These conditions and these issues shine the light on the deeper unconscious complexes that are really controlling and creating our life experience.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the pain is really a motivation for us to, in this time, to change or to look at different solutions to remedy the pain. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It is, you know, it's basically where you come to the point of creating, you consciously create yourself by... You are in a painful situation, and that's when the decision is made of what I value, and what I value determines who I am and who I serve. And so when I come into a painful situation, I consciously decide on who I am, on what I am going to do. Am I going to run from this pain? Am I going to push through this pain? Am I going to ignore or avoid this pain? The pain really brings it into focus, you know?
So is this during the month of August or is this ongoing? Well, of course it's ongoing, but is it more intense during the month of August?
It is. It's more intense during this time of Leo, because this is the time of the king and the queen, right? This is the time when it's up to each one of us as individuals to either be pushed around and buffeted and controlled by the economy or the parents or the spouse or the, you know, or the past, or to become into a conscious state of being that says, I see this pain and this problem, and use all of these experiences to prioritize, to decide and to become a higher expression or a higher vibration of that Leo quality.
Excellent.
Because we know Leo has a kind of a bad, it's got a bad rap. The lower vibration of Leo is one that lives in fear and wants approval and acknowledgement and adoration because inside it feels so unworthy and unvaluable. So you get the macho grandstanding, you know, hey, look at me, and, you know, I'm going to veto this bill or push this bill through, or, you know, whatever. You get these, you know, you get the big egos going on, you know. But that is actually a reflection, you know, this need for power this need for external power is that we oppress what we fear. And, you know, where there is power, love is not.
Wow.
Yeah?
Wow.
That's a, I think Carl Jung said that, you know, where there is power, love is not. It's where we try to dominate, oppress, we're moving into from a fear-based reality. We're not in our heart space. We're not in love. And we know that this Aquarian age and this movement, this new paradigm, is about this opening of the heart. So we're obviously bumping up against, collectively and individually, situations and conditions that challenge us to either respond from a place of fear, you know, which is going to seek power and control, or we react and respond from a place of love, which is this opening of the heart, and has a certain amount to do with humility, with surrendering, with trusting, and of course, with going back into our own childhood, to our, I gotta say, it's really the relationship with the mother is very fundamental and key here. Our mother is our first experience, you know, of the other, and it colors all of our relationships from then on, men and women.
Wow.
But we also know that the women are dealing then also with the parent of the opposite sex. But, you know, Cancer and Leo both have to do with mom and dad, sun and moon. And, you know, this is a time, you know, families get together and do family reunions and the kids are out of school. It's, you know, so this whole summer experience of Cancer and Leo is very much having to do with these parental issues and complexes. But astrology throws another light on this that takes us beyond the scope of psychology. And that is basically that our parents are nothing more than a projection of our own internal reality to start with. We chose our parents from a spiritual place of knowing before we came into the body. This is what your birth chart says. You've reincarnated so many times. And you picked, so if you have, you know, a father that didn't love you, or, you know, a mother who was abusive, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing, it's necessary actually for you to, at some level of your evolution, at some point, come into this place of taking full responsibility for, you know, for that relationship, for that condition, for that situation. And if you had a parent who didn't love you, you have to consider the idea that your heart is closed or was closed and you were not able to love.
Mm.
So you picked a mirror parent who was not able to love you. You know, and when you start looking at things that way, you know, it kind of takes the heat off of mom and dad.
And put it right back where it needs to be, right back on you. That is so true. That is so true.
You know, it's like, you know, we're putting a lot out there. And, of course, that gets very dicey when you get into abusive situations of, you know, abused children. And then we look at, you know what, it is, you know, and my personal experience has been that the most highly evolved souls of, you know, in the spiritual stage of evolution, they have the worst biographies. It's like, you know, you talk to these people that are so amazing, and you go back and you know, look at and listen to what they've been through and what they've, you know, witnessed and felt, and it's very phenomenal that, you know, some very highly evolved souls will take on some very challenging situations so that, you know, in their childhood, so that when they mature, they're conscious. They're dealing with all of this stuff on a conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of so many others who, you know, have just, they're not, you know, really able to grapple with some of that collective karma. you know, at a certain stage in their evolutionary process.
Let me ask you then, in the month of August, should we be really concentrating then on ourselves, as far as our self-esteem, doing affirmations, making ourselves feel worthy, trusting, as you stated? That's what we should be doing during the month of August?
Yes, you know, this is really a time to become and attempt to maintain inward activity. Inward activity. It is the sun. The sun is a nuclear power plant, you know, totally, totally inwardly active. And the result are the rays of the sun, yeah? And mythologically, of course, Apollo and, you know, Vishnu and Sol, you know, these are, it's the sun is forever battling the darkness.
Hmm.
You know, and then it rises every morning victorious. You know, and you know, and this whole movement of the sun through the sky and the sun through the seasons, you know, the four, the solstice and equinox points, really brings out the sun as the expression of law and order in our experience with the four seasons. Yeah. And so this is a time where I'm going to say it is very important. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is, and what I've been noticing, I don't want to say it's lackadaisical, but these hot summer days, you're tempted to sit down with a beer and watch a ball game, or just go out and picnic and sit at the river. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, and this is the other side of Leo, right? Recreation and enjoyment, and it rules over love affairs. And, you know, there's all of these activities, external activities, that can serve as so much of a distraction from doing our inner work at this time. And the inner work at this time, it's not easy to discipline yourself. Wake up and do your meditation practice, or, you know, just wake up and, you know, do your jogging or your dancing, or do things that be that are inwardly challenging you to bring something new, bring something out, change yourself and change the world. It's a fixed sign, you know, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius are these fixed signs. It's a fixed cross. Won't go into that, having to do with the Gospels and the everything else. But, you know, this fixed cross has to do, you know, with Vishnu. There's Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Vishnu is the sustainer, right, and the support. So Leo can also be, well, I don't know, if you go to Africa and you see these lions, they're laying around. Boy, do they just lay around. They just lay around all day long. But when they jump into action, they are the fiercest creature. You know, I mean, Leo is the only carnivore in the whole zodiacal, you know, condition, situation there.
Well, so, then, let me ask you, it is fascinating information. We have Mercury in retrograde starting on August 3rd. Now, what does this mean for the month?
What this means for that month, Mercury goes retrograde for about 3 weeks, about three times a year. And it is a time, okay, when it is coming where we are very, very close to Mercury. And it is very, very, you know, so it's stronger. Planets that are retrograde are stronger. And the outer planets go retrograde when the Earth is passing them up, right? It looks like they're going backwards because we're passing them up, okay? So it's, first of all, so retrograde has to do with this time period where the planet is very strong, and the planet is, what I like to say, is individualizing. It is a time where it is time to retrograde, is rebel, react, redo, you know, reflect, You know, it's all re. Yes, it's
wow.
Because what it's doing is it's time to individualize that planetary function. So when it comes to Mercury is our left brain, logical, rational navigator, how we get from point A to point B. And it's our communication and our ego that thinks in plus, minus, good, bad, right, wrong, yes, no, black, white, yeah. So that's our left brain, and this is our Mercury function. So when it goes retrograde, we have this three-week period from the 3rd to like the 25th or so, where we have this time period where it's necessary for us to reflect, to go inward. And the universe helps us with this. The cars break down, the computers break down, the mail breaks down, you know, talking to other people just doesn't seem to like work. So the universe is saying, you know, it's waving the white flags, you know, knock it off, reflect, meditate, go inward, and contemplate and individualize your thinking. Stop being molded and controlled and manipulated and distracted by all of the, you know, news and goos and media and relationships and this, that, and the other thing. So it's actually this kind of a time period, which is now also very much coinciding with Venus in the underworld. You know, Venus disappeared from sight July 11th.
Really?
And because it's conjunct the sun. And so we're not going to see Venus again until September 23rd when it rises in the west. So it's in what we call in shamanic astrology, Venus is in the underworld. And this too is another indication, right? So it's amazing. The heat of summer and everybody wants to get out and go and play and do this and that and the other thing. And it's actually a time with Mercury retrograde and Venus in the underworld to actually do, you know, a lot of inner work. I mean, it's not to say that you just sit home and meditate all
right.
day, but, you know.
But when you said Venus is in the underworld, does this mean that new relationships kind of go on the wane, just kind of slow down so that you can see what is really going on with it?
Well, I'll tell you, we are in a very, you know, we're in a long period of change in relationships. That's why all my workshops now are on relationships.
Wow.
You know, Saturn is in Libra from September of 2009 to September of 2012. It happens every 28 years for 2.5 to 3 years. And Libra is partnership and relationship. And Saturn is the teacher. It's the Lord of Karma. It's bringing up stuff that has been laying around for 7 years. For 14 years, for 21 years, and it's a time of reviewing our contracts with our relationships. And at the same time, Uranus has just gone into Aries, opposite Libra. This is such a time where planetarily, you know, our collective kick in the butt that we're all getting right now is all around sovereignty. It is time to become more autonomous, and this is so fitting with Jupiter going through Taurus, which is my resources, my money, my capacity, my talent, my body, my physical senses, and the Sun move, and Mercury and Venus all going to be going here through Leo for a couple of weeks. All three of them, you know, are in Leo. Leo is, again, the self. And my creativity and my domain. So it's all of our relationships now. And there are so many relationships that are breaking up. If people were keeping track of this, I'm sure a spike.
Wow. So we're really trying to, during this time, the best thing that we can do is discover our power through creativity. Like you said, financially, relationship-wise, it all comes back to us, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, exactly. I'm saying that in some ways there is no out there, that the external world is a mirror of our internal conversation and our internal, you know, fears, and the more conscious we become, the more we can trust and the less we fear.
Okay.
You know, there's less unknown.
That is brilliant. So, looking at this economy, and we're getting all this fear about the debt ceiling, which is, has to be set on August 2nd. How are we supposed to be reacting? Because if it's with retrograde coming in, it means it's kind of going to take a couple steps backwards, right? So how are we supposed to be understanding? Are we just supposed to be trusting that everything is going to turn out perfectly, that it's really not such a big deal? What are we supposed to be doing with this as far as manifesting our own economy?
Yeah.
That was a mouthful, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, the situation as I see it,
okay,
Pluto has gone into Capricorn, you know, since 2008. It's going to stay there till 2024. We have a complete annihilation of external authority, of government, of reliance on others outside of ourselves to secure us, to support us, to stabilize us. So we are all in this boat, you know, swimming together, necessarily confronting our fears around Big Brother, you know, whether it's God or the government or the church or the parents. It's this grappling, you know, for something outside myself to support me and tell me that I'm safe and everything is okay. And I'm sorry, it's an illusion. And so yeah, I would say, no, you do, this is not a time to be trusting or hoping that, you know, the government, that everything's going to be okay. It's not. It's not going to be okay. The atmosphere, the weather is intensifying over these next period of years. The earth itself, earthquakes and tsunamis are going to be changing more and more. Just the number of natural disasters that are coming over the next few years is going to break the economies of many countries. It doesn't, what I'm saying is, and we can't count on, you know, people, you know, in their little offices, you know, and behind their banks, determining things. So I'm saying this time of becoming autonomous, this time of coming into touch with our own personal creativity, it, in some ways, there's no choice. You know, we need to do this. this is not like, if you want to be spiritual, you should get creative. No. It's more like, you know what? If you want to make it, you better start thinking for yourself. You better start disciplining yourself. And you better start acting in a creative way to produce or make something that people need. Whether they've got money or not, whether, you know, it's a way of plugging into a, you need, every aspect of the whole needs to contribute something to the whole. And if you are like hanging, drinking, smoking, kicking back, watching this, trying to just like relax and enjoy, and, you know, it's like, you know, you are making a decision every moment of every day, whether you know it or not, right? And when you're deciding not, okay, to do your inner work and not to get creative and not to discipline yourself, and you come up with all kinds of, the ego is such a wizard at coming up with rationales, you know, to support whatever the hell you think it is, you know, you're doing. But, you know, it's just amazing. So,
I get it. I get what you're saying. So, as far as the discipline that we're supposed to be doing, that may be that now is the time to really cut back, simplify, and start focusing in on thinking outside of the box on how you are going to earn an income. you're not going to be staying in that same corporate world. You're going to be doing something on an individual basis in order to succeed. Now, if that takes money, that's fine. If not, I mean, in other words, we can become millionaires. There's nothing stopping us that, just like in the Depression, more millionaires were made. But they had to do that by thinking outside the box. Is that what? That's basically what you're saying. Now is the time.
Yes, absolutely. And in addition to that, I'm also going to point at the other side of that coin.
Okay.
Is really this also do without, and you started with it. You know, it's our desire body, right? Gets completely caught up with our addictions, you know, because we feel empty inside. Well, if you don't do your inner work, you're going to feel empty inside, and you're going to be eating, smoking, chocolate, coffee, you know, all of these things, entertainment, you know, it's all about, you know, that I need something to make me feel good, or you know, it's like it's so much of this is also about reducing the nut, reducing your monthly expenses. You don't need to spend all that money. You don't need to have all those possessions. You don't need to, you know, to go out and to drink and to, I mean, if you look at how much it really costs, you know, to live a simple, and if you go to South Africa or you go to Mexico or you go to some of these places where these people don't have anything, and they got the biggest smiles on their faces and they are dancing and singing and they, I mean, you know, it's, so we know, you know, that happiness is not contingent upon money.
Right.
It's just, you know, but, you know, we've got a lot of social conditioning, and this is what I'm talking about, in retrograde Mercury and all this, you know, do your own thinking. You know, we've got so much conditioning from our parents and everyone else telling us that we need this and we need that and we need the other thing, and it's just a bunch of crap.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And living simply, you know, you have a lot of burdens when you are a millionaire, because you have to keep on making more money and more money, and it's more. It's just a heavier trip. If you were living simply, it's like everything is just grand. You don't have to worry about it. You just know. It's just very. You really do turn within. So. I appreciate what you're saying here. Now, there is, I've noticed, NASA has come out and said that there is an asteroid coming close to us shortly. I was just wondering, what is your take on that? Because, you know, all of these planets that are coming, and there's a new planet popping up. I forgot the name of it, but magnetically, Elena, thank you. So all of these have a magnetic force with us. What is your opinion on these?
Wow. You sure hit the hot button. You know, it's pretty interesting, because, you know, I'm familiar with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, you know, video of the whole course of this, you know, Ellen, in which they are calling a comet, but which is also, you know, others are calling a brown dwarf star, because its gravitational pull is absolutely huge.
Wow.
And that they aligned it with the earthquake in New Zealand, the earthquake in Chile, and the earthquake off of Japan that caused that tsunami.
Right.
Was all in direct alignment with Ellen, which other people are calling Nibiru. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and it's coming in close. It's coming inside the orbit of the Earth. It's touching the orbit of Mercury. And then as it goes out, we are going right through its tail. And, of course, its tail is going to be full of debris. And so it really depends, and I don't know why they are so slow in determining the actual size of this thing. I mean, it's either a comet or a brown dwarf star, and I would think that they would know by now. But I also think there's a little bit of a cover-up happening because they want people to know what, you know, what it's about.
Yeah.
So my, you know, I mean, I'm actually not talking about it so much. I'm really not focusing on it because I don't want to scare the heck out of everybody. It's actually very scary because it could change the whole orbit of the Earth. It could do a whole pole shift. If it is a huge body and it comes inside the orbit of the Earth and it's as big as like our sun or, you know, close to, I mean, it's going to change all the orbits of all the inner planets and we're all done.
Okay, but so collective consciously, I mean, we are powerful in our minds. What could we be doing to focus in on this? I mean, we can really create miracles if we all got together and focused and put, what can we be doing? Wouldn't that shift it out or keep it or somehow protect the planet?
Yes. I believe so. I also believe that, you know, people at this particular time, you know, we're going through this whole evolutionary leap. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it is time to really open ourselves to the presence and the reality of intelligent life forms and intelligent spiritual forms that are not physical, existing and, having an impact on our human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether you want to call it angels, archangels, extraterrestrial, you can name these, you know, beings and entities, whatever you want, but, you know, this is a time, I believe, where, humans are, I mean, our conscious egos are in first grade. If we look at the galactic level, you know. And I do say that this is a time of opening our hearts, of opening our minds to a greater spiritual reality that we are a part of, so that we can listen and we can accept advice and we can take in some help and we can, I mean, it's a humbling process, you know. I mean, we've been taught to dominate nature and name all the animals or whatever, you know. And, you know, this is just part of humanity. Remember, we used to think we were the center of the universe, you know, and we got in trouble when the sun was there. And then we're constantly getting demoted.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the work, you know, is to become more sensitive, is to really pay attention and to, you know, through your spiritual practice, become more aware and more attuned to, you know, forces that are directing the course of these large scale events.
Okay.
And ask, what is needed? Why is this? And, you know, where do I, you know, what change, you know, can I make or can we make to facilitate, you know, the purpose, you know, of this occurrence, of this phenomena.
Well,
you know?
It sounds like that we need to get more meditative. We need to turn within. We need to be asking, and we need to be focusing on love and getting answers on how we can collective together mentally do something about it.
Absolutely. I think it's becoming much more of a real, you know, necessity.
Okay.
And it's not just, you know, oh, there's just a few spiritual people or this, that, or the other way. It's like we almost need to, like, incorporate It's not spiritual. It's not scientific. This is the merging of science and religion.
Right.
You know, we're at this time now where it's just life. And you don't have to label it, even saying a spiritual practice. I mean, you know, what's that? You know, but, you know, we want to get away from the labels and just say our life needs to include an expanded conception and an expanded reality, you know, of, you know, invisible forces and spiritual forces and forces of, you know, love and this, that, and the other thing that, you know, that are just as real as the tangible, physical, malleable, you know, material world.
Right.
And that expanded conception is going to alter our behavior to include other choices. You know, and I live under the motto that it's all good. It's all evolution. It's all growth. And even the pain is part of this growth process. And, you know, this comet coming in or this, you know, brown dwarf star, you know, that, you know, can create huge earth shifts and create havoc and catastrophes, you know. I mean, as we move into less dependent mode on our physical experience. And this is the evolution of our species, you know. I mean, ultimately, if we go many, 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 many generations from now, we are extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
We are evolving out of these bodies. We're evolving out of a time-space-limited dimensional world into, you know, a multi-dimensional reality. So, as you know, this is part of our process, and they talk about it. Move into your witness. Go into your observer. Well, the witness and the observer, you know, is none other than, you know, this this higher, you know, non-physical identity that we need to identify with more and more and more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So if we are creating everything, our thoughts, we are in fact creating this star comet that's coming to us. And it's a direct reflection of our emotions and all of the occurrences. So that bottom line, and this is exactly what you're saying again, is that we must start going in and understanding exactly what is going on with us, because truly we are affecting everything.
Yes. And violence, you know, is anger. Anger and rage is the result of suppression. You know, and the more individuals and groups and everyone starts dealing with their anger and dealing with it, you know, what they have suppressed and denied and, you know, lied to themselves about or been told or judged or, you know, I mean, the more each one of us does this emotional clearing, you know, the less violent, you know, our future external world is going to be. Right, because you know, that is that mirror reflection. I mean, so yeah, it's just, you know, when you are doing your inner personal work, you're helping the whole planet.
Wow, and that is such a powerful message. That is so wonderful and something that everybody needs to hear. And boy, you said it beautifully. Well, Tom, I see that we are all out of time, but I can't thank you enough. And I hope you come back and fill us in again on the next month, because the response with you from the last time you were on was phenomenal. People just love hearing it. So I appreciate you, and I really thank you for coming on.
Well, great. Thank you so much for having me, Jules. It's wonderful.
Okay.
And I'd love to come back, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Tom. And to all the wonderful listeners out there, have a great, safe, wonderful, expanding, manifesting week. We'll catch you again. next week right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Bye-bye. As we close another show, it is my sincerest wish that you have a wonderful week ahead. Remember, through you, the world changes to reflect your happiness. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send me an email to jules@loaradionetwork.com.